Now, today we have a very special guest in the studio. Now, this month he released his new book, Let It Be, and he is more than just an author. He's also a peer, as he is well known as the anchor of Culture Express and Crossover in CCTV News, and was the English announcer for the opening and closing ceremony of the Beijing Olympic Games back in 2008. A very large welcome to Ji Xiaojun. Thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me. Hello, everyone. This is Ji Xiaojun. Good to, to be with you, actually. You know, good to see you.
Yeah, good afternoon. Because this is radio, and it's different from television. And as you mentioned, that you have had radio experiences in your early days. Does this studio make you think of, you know, oh, I've missed the radio for so many years?
Very much so. But this is so much better than what I had, you know, so many years ago.
Absolutely. Are you flattering us?
I'm just telling the facts, you know, because that was in my, it should be in the second year of my university years. Mm-hmm. And I went to Beijing, the local radio in Beijing. Mm-hmm. To be a part-time anchor for that, you know, station for three years.
Yes. But what made you decided, you know, I'm going to go to the silver screen, you know?
I don't know. Actually, after graduation, I didn't become a professional anchor or presenter. I actually went to work for the Ministry of Education. So kind of distancing myself away a little bit from all these microphones. Mm-hmm. So I was working there for the Ministry of Education for 7 years in total.
So you're a public servant. You were.
Yes, I was.
And
with this, your new book, Let It Be, is out now, I believe.
It's already out.
Yeah. And so with that title, Let It Be, is that you've been doing a little bit of Ministry of Education and civil servant stuff, radio before that, now you're back into TV.
Yeah.
So this kind of philosophy of Let It Be, is it just a kind of whatever happens, happens, everything happens for a reason philosophy that you live by?
A bit passive acceptance of life, right? Fatalistic.
Well, not 100% true, though.
Okay.
You know, we struggled a little bit with the English name of the book name, because in Chinese it's Hebi Ke. It's not, you don't have to do anything on purpose. I mean, you the only thing that you need to do on purpose is you need to
work hard.
Exactly.
Yes.
You need to make your efforts. It's not like Let It Be and then you sit idly at home and then you just wait. Everything would happen to you. You know, you're just the lucky one. Nothing like that happens to anyone.
Xiaojun, my understanding of your Let It Be is like a little bit confusion sort of a theory that you do your share, right? You work
hard. That's right. That's right. Yes.
And then God disposes, man proposes, right? It's like follow whatever arranged.
Well, you just said it so much better than I did.
Let it be. C'est la vie, right?
I just like this song, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, so on that sense, and I know that in the book, kind of from looking at the book and kind of getting my dear colleagues to translate some passages for me as well, you use the kind of word sort of coincidentally a lot. The kind of coincidentally I did this, and then I ended up doing this.
Yes.
And so as a result, do you believe that everything just sort of happens, and if you work hard, everything will just follow its own path?
No.
Or do you make your own future?
Well, it's kind of a mixture. You can't really just say one thing is, you know, it happens this way, then everything will happen in the same way. Basically, you need to make your own efforts, and you need to make it happen. Mm-hmm. But how do you make it happen? It's you make your own share of efforts, and I mean, all these opportunities are there. They're flying every day, everywhere. But how are you going to catch it?
Yeah.
You need to make your share of efforts, and you need to make sure that if the chance comes to you, you should be sure that you're able to catch it.
I used to compare chances and opportunities as a flowing river, that the containers you're going to prepare yourself is
exactly
like a, is different. Some made a big bowl, solid one. Some make a paper one. So when the water flows by you, how much you can get the river?
Exactly.
It depends on you.
You should always be ready for all these kinds of opportunities. They do not come every day, but once it is here, you are the one who is supposed to get it.
Whom do you target for this book? The readers. Everybody? The readers. Are you ambitious?
Not really. I would say, you know, the funny thing is, these days I've been receiving all these feedbacks from the readers and sometimes on microblogs, and they say, hey, well, I grew up watching your programs, or hey, you are my idol for my childhood, or something like that. And when I heard words like that, well, I feel happy, but at the same time, you know, kind of sad, but as a little reminder of how years have passed. And I would say from, I don't know, maybe the ones who are now watching my program, starting now or many years ago, or university students, or these young, you know, young people working in these office buildings.
Is there a specific thing that made you decide, no, I'm going to concentrate on writing a book? Or dedicate my time, because I know, you know, CCTV, you know, TV people, radio people are all very busy. You know, we squeeze time into writing a book. So what is the specific thing? Or you have been thinking about this idea for a long time?
Not really. I've been asked, actually. I mean, the invitation's been there for many years, but I've never given it a serious thought about it. But basically, two reasons. One, because in many cases, as well, was asked by you know, my viewers or fans, say it seems they were quite interested about my experiences, my stories, and I said, well, maybe this is the time that I tell my personal stories, to share the stories with them. And the other reason is basically very personal, because this is my this year I turn 40 years old, and it's going to be my birthday in 2 days' time.
Really?
Ah, well, happy birthday for them.
Thank you for that.
Happy birthday to you in advance.
Thank you. And we're going to have a little gathering with the readers and fans, actually, on my birthday. So I said, well, this could be a gift that I can give to myself.
Yourself, yes.
And
indeed.
Also a little record of what I've been doing all
a
these
summary,
years.
A summary, huh?
Yeah, and this is also the 12th year, remember. China 12. It's like a little roundup, you know. It's like we have 12 zodiac animals.
Okay, yes.
So it's like 12th year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So in terms of, I have to kind of ask you, out of all of the things you've done, from working at the ministry to working in radio to the time sort of spent in Nottingham as well in the UK to what you're doing now, has there been one highlight for you over your career, either in broadcasting generally or just over your whole working life?
I mean, all these things come one after another. I mean, everything, when it happens for a reason. Like, you know, when I studied English, I didn't expect I would become an English anchor. But anyway, that was the foundation a little bit. One step after another. And that all leads me to where I am today. But if you have to point out one highlight of my, say, life or working experience, I would say the Olympics. And that was, the experience. You can't really expect us to have an experience like that all the time. And this is the opportunity that
I've got. Speaking of the Olympics, we will remind the listener exactly what role you played in 2008.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the athletes of the Games of the 29th Olympia. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the president of the Beijing Organizing Committee for the Games of the 29th Olympia, Liu Qi, and the president of the International Olympic Committee, Judge Roth.
You know, Xiaojun.
You have this.
Of course we do. Of course we have that. How is that listening to it back?
That's an ambush, but I like it.
Xiaojun, I didn't realize it was you at the very beginning. And then, did you, were you present on the stage or you
was,
were pre-recorded? You were there,
I was there.
So
it's all live, yeah.
Will you be called MC or just
it's
the
announcer.
Host? Just announcer. Yeah, I think we got the name the correct. We were discussing whether it's an MC or it's an announcer. I can share your experience because you were heard, you know, globally because of that, right? Made China or Beijing especially well-known globally. But one occasion when I was broadcasting in the Great Hall of People, when our Chinese leader Deng Xiaoping died, it's the meeting that we were held, me and Ling Xiaowen, another colleague of ours.
You were there.
Yeah, we too broadcast. We representing CCTV.
Yes.
And because there's no sound bites, how does accessibility to every foreign media. So it's like our voices were going everywhere, being quoted. So I share your feeling. You feel so proud of yourself. That's the highlight. That's the moment.
Yeah, only except, you know, that was a sad moment. But for that 2008, it was like, and everyone was celebrating the moment.
Yeah, that's the difference, yes.
And what was it like? I mean, I've spoken to here to a lot of the colleagues who are certainly in Beijing during the Olympics and may have had the opportunity to go to a few of the events. But what was the kind of the atmosphere and feeling like from being in Beijing for as long as you had in 2008 to kind of think, wow, the world is watching Beijing, the world is watching China? It must have been sort of the first time when this was really a kind of a realization that Beijing was now on the global map.
It's just overwhelming. I mean, every moment of it was just overwhelming. And to be the announcer, I mean, at that moment, it was kind of scary. I couldn't really spend too much time thinking about all the details, because if I did so, whew, I'll be scared to death, you know.
did you have many times of rehearsals?
We did. It was kind of different, because, you know, they had someone else doing the job. They had a candidate, but somehow they decided to have a replacement for some reasons that I was not quite aware of. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I was called and I went there and I passed the audition and just got the opportunity. And it was 10 days actually before the real opening.
Only 10 days.
Mm-hmm. So I had, I don't know, 5-6 rehearsals.
Good.
Did you have to practice that kind of official sounding voice, that kind of almost very royal announcing voice?
I don't know. Actually, I didn't know where to borrow the experience. And basically, cause,
that is true.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, what is the right way to do it? I don't know.
But it sounds very good. You sounded very, very good.
Thank you for that. But the only experience that I had before that was the Special Olympics 1 year before that. That was in Shanghai, 2007.
I did
the same thing. And there was also, you know, a live show with some 80,000 people on the spot with the state leaders and coming from different countries. Mm-hmm. Similar case, but it's only bigger in 2008.
I know. No matter how experienced we are, you know, the first few seconds.
Oh, yes.
It's always almost a panic.
I was sweating.
Sweating. My goodness.
Yes.
Okay. Talking about, I think Culture Express is your program.
Yes.
And how long have you been hosting it?
8 years.
8 years already.
Wow.
Yeah. Are you tired of it? Fed up?
Can I say that?
To be honest.
Yeah.
It's okay. We'll edit it out for the version that we send to CCTV. It's okay.
Isn't it a live show?
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, sort of. I mean, when you do a program for 8 years, when you are so familiar with the format and all these storylines are, I mean, yeah, that's why I'm always looking for something new. Exactly.
But are you a good host who can inject a new energy to this program, which lasts for 8 years already?
I will leave that to others to judge.
But I mean, is that a challenge? I mean, because both kind of crossover and Culture Express, they're both kind of culture related or kind of lifestyle related.
Soft.
So with that kind of regard, is it fairly easy to always draw on new things that are happening in the world all the time around us? I mean, I think that Manning and I will both say that when we do this show, which is very culture and lifestyle related in terms of our content, we kind of think, wow, you know, 1 minute we're talking about this, and then the next minute we're talking about something completely different, and then tomorrow we're talking about this. And the vast diversity of content that you have to draw on when you put the show together means that you just have everything to kind of possibly think about it. Now, sometimes that's too much of a challenge. You kind of think, where do I even begin to look? But sometimes that's a blessing. Is it a blessing or a curse when you're doing your show?
Maybe it's both. But I guess our program crossover is slightly different from what you guys are now doing. Because we, for each episode, we'll have a topic, a theme that we'll concentrate on. And we'll have two guests to speak with me, so we'll have a little discussion. But we'll be focusing on that event. But we might be drawing in, you know, different parties and their responses and what they're talking about that event. So it's pretty much we would be focusing on one topic, but, you know, we'd be drawing all these pictures and video clips to add up to the discussion.
We actually have the similar sort of blog bite segments twice weekly. We bring like two or three topics to concentrate on and to debate and to try to show the world or people that different perspectives.
Yeah, know, we just want to show the world or the audience, and if they're watching, what's going on here in China these
days?
This
is the question I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
You have been involved in the culture programs, right? Try to bring Chinese culture to the world, right? Mm-hmm. And mainly this is the job. Do you think the images through you and your team, you know, you have been conveying to the world is an accurate picture of Chinese culture?
This
or
is too,
much more can be done or can be improved.
Much more can be done is right, the right answer, I say.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is too much a too big a question. But, you know, I would say what we're trying to do very hard is trying to bring the real picture of what's happening these days with Chinese people, especially just, you know, ordinary people, not those elites, not these politicians, statesmen. I mean, we're trying to establish the kind of bridge between the understanding, the bridge of understanding between Chinese people and Western people, or anyone who is watching from different parts of the world. Because very often, because we are kind of cheated by ourselves, you know, because living in this digital world, it seems we know each other very well, wherever you are, wherever you live. But actually, we don't.
Yes.
We don't really know ourselves. We don't, because we don't have the channels of effective communications. And that's exactly what we are trying to do. At least we're helping the viewers, wherever they are, get a better understanding of what's going on in China recently.
At least they know that there are beer here in China, because I was in Sydney and somebody come to me said, do you have beer back in your own country? And some even remote places people, they would say, hey, do you still wearing the long, you know, Qing Dynasty tail?
Right, yeah, okay.
So that is, you know, your job and my job to let the world know
really
better.
Really getting their priorities right there, the students. Well, finally, to kind of as we kind of start to wrap up, we're drastically running out of time.
Right.
I feel like we could talk for hours. But you talk about the students and the university students that are probably watching the programs and listening to this interview as well. So what advice would you give to them to follow their dream? I think that I know that you have sort of said that your dream job from very young was being a TV host and that was kind of what you had as a bit of a goal or a dream job of yours. It's certainly my dream job being a radio host. So with that in mind, what tips would you give to a university or college student who wants to pursue their dream, whatever it may be?
Well, I'm kind of a conservative, but at the same time, optimistic. So what I did with my dream was basically, I had the dream, but I've never thought one day, say, this is the only thing I would do. If I didn't do it, if I didn't achieve my goal, I would die one day. I've never thought like that. It's basically, I mean, I was trying to be realistic. I mean, after the university graduation, I didn't even try to find a job at any TV stations or radio stations in Beijing.
Let it be.
I mean, the priority that I had at the time was to survive.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the first point.
We all have to survive at the very beginning, but later you
Later
develop,
on. Well, yeah. I mean, but it doesn't mean that you do not have the opportunity to go on with your dream. Because when I was working with the Ministry of Education, I still had the chance to do any kind of voiceovers in Chinese and anchoring and presenting Chinese teaching programs.
Yes.
Exactly. You can just follow your dream.
We did the same thing. But
that's
since
right.
you once were a public servant at the Ministry of Education, I wanted to ask you about education. Do you think the students who wanted, most of the students here today, if they can afford it, they would love to go to Western countries to receive an education. So what do you reckon on this issue?
Go. Whenever you have a chance, go.
And bring back good stuff, right?
Yeah, always. I mean, wherever you go, either it's in other countries or in China, I mean, open up your eyes and feel it. I mean, this is the golden opportunity for us to you know, widen our horizon, to know more things, to the communication. You can't really just isolate yourself in your little flats and hoping that one day I will be different. I mean, getting something good back to my home country. It's not done that way. I mean, once you're in a different country, try to communicate with local people.
Yes.
Try to communicate with different cultures.
Yes,
that's
indeed.
What we do.
Xiaojun, as time is very tight, I would love to know, because your book is to also partially to celebrate your own birthday, 40 year old, right? So this is a one stage. Do you have a 40-year sort of a new resolution since now? What are you going to do? And in the future, what are you know, what is your focus, new focus?
I've never actually given thought to that. Yeah, but I would say, hey.
Let it be again, right?
Yeah, and live happily, healthily, and I guess. And that's the best wishes that I would like to give to anyone.
Mm-hmm. So all the best to you.
Yeah, thank you. All the best. And all the best of luck with your new book, which is out now.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us here in the studio. We'll now continue with some more great music.